We're talking about habits. So far, we've learned about all kinds of good stuff because we know that small habits lead to big change. Life is comprised far more of our everyday little habits than it is of huge decisions of, you know, what job to take, or, you know, should we adopt, or should we try for another kid, or, you know, all these, we think of these huge life decisions, should we move, you know, but life consists so much more. In fact, we learned last week, what, 40 to 45% of our everyday life is just habit. You're not even thinking about what you're doing, you're just doing it. So we learned last week about how God has set us up for success, right? You are a creature of habit by design. So that you, when you develop that habit of doing what's right, you're set up for success. Once you develop that habit, it's there. But we've been challenged to make a habit out of seeking God, to develop the habit of reconciling in our relationships. And of course, last week we learned about just how awesome it is that God set us up for that success, to develop habits into our lives. Because we learned that even when opposition comes our way, it only makes us stronger if we choose to rise up into it. We choose to rise up into it. And if we make a habit of that, wow, the victory that you're going to walk in, the freedom you're going to walk in, the peace, it's awesome. This week, we're going to be encouraged to develop the habit of building. You know, it's been a theme from the very beginning that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Building your kingdom here, asking God to build our life. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would think that we were praying to the same God and hearing from the same Spirit. It's sort of suspicious, right? Yeah, none of us orchestrated any of that. Not even Becky and I orchestrated worship. You know, she already had it done before I sent it to her, and the songs were already there that I was recommending. I love it when God does that, right? He's just that good. It just kind of gives you, you know, it's good to hear from God, but it's even better when you get confirmation, isn't it? It's even better when you get that reassurance that, yep, good job, kiddo. You're on the right track. You're heading the right direction. All of us need that from time to time. Now, I don't know. If you're like me, getting into a big building project, honestly, it just stresses me out. I'm not by trade a craftsman when it comes to, you know, building things and contracting. I don't know all that. I don't even know half those terms, you know. I'm not a carpenter. Carpentry is not my skill. I know enough to get things done. I know enough to get things functional, but I wouldn't say that anything I've ever done looked pretty. You can ask Becky. It's never usually finished. There's still trim missing all over our house. Still some things unpainted. Yeah, it's not my skill set. But I admire people who have that skill set. When they do some of these carpentry jobs and you walk in, it's just like, that's what I love about some of these, like when we do the Lenten services, you walk into some of these churches and you look at some of this woodwork and the, you know, ornate, it's just like, wow, like it's just beautiful. I just love it. Like I admire it, but I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just not my trade. You know, my table, you can ask Bethany, she'll show you. I built her a table for her bedroom, you know. It had to be this little tiny thing and we couldn't find one anywhere. A couple of 2x4s and some plywood. Yep, it wasn't working well. So I put some, what is it, that tacky paper on top? Contact paper, yeah. That's my table, you know. But you look at some of the tables that other guys build, like custom built, like oak, you know, with all the carving and routing. And my tables, you know what happens? Next time I need that lumber, I take it apart and I use it, you know. Their tables, like, it gets passed down from generation to generation. You know, it's just not my thing. So when I think of building, I don't necessarily get all excited about it. You know, I love seeing a finished product, but it's just not my skill set, not my thing. Interestingly enough, though, the very first time that God chose to fill a person with the Holy Spirit, it was for the skills of carpentry. It was to build up people with those exact skill sets. So don't ever look down on those kind of occupations. That's the very first reason that God fills them with the Holy Spirit, is to give them those abilities. And we find this in Exodus chapter 35. It says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills.' Because who knows that knowledge and wisdom and understanding are pointless if you can't put them into use." Now, I would have thought the Spirit of God filling a person would be for the skills of like some kind of ministry, like how you think of, like that he would lead the people, that he would, you know, be worship or whatever, you know. This is the first ministry that God used the Spirit to do, and it's carpentry. That's the very first ministry that was established by the work of the Holy Spirit. It says to fill them with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. You know, and I love watching those shows, you know, on History Channel where they're making, like, swords and stuff, you know, and just, it's so cool, you know, yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit filled this man to do. To cut and to set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he's given both he and Oliab, the son of Ashimachak, the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them to do skill with all kinds of work. He has filled them with the skill as engravers, designers, embroiderers, in blue, purple, scarlet, yarn, fine linen, weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. Of course, we know the reason that he filled them with those skills, right? They're about ready to build a temple for God. God has an eye for beauty. He does. It's just who he is. He had every little detail worked out to the very like last little gold-covered piece of whatever, you know. It's amazing. I can only imagine what the first temple looked like. But God is a creative creator. He was, he is today, and he always will be. And so I know that the world in today's culture doesn't really value those skills as much, you know, artistic abilities. God loves them. I mean, that's who he is. That's absolutely who he is. God is a creative creator, and you can obviously see from the works of his hands all around us just how creative he is. I mean, everything's unique. Even, you know, we always talk about the snowflake. Even every snowflake that falls, they're all unique from each other, not one the same as the other. You know, I could never do that. Think about the billions of people that ever walked the face of the earth, you know, probably billions upon billions upon billions, and not one of them ever the same. Yet they're all alike. It's amazing who our God is and what he is like. And when you look at the work of the Creator and just how artistic he is, you are included in that work. Ephesians 4:20, right? Or 2:10. I got my quote wrong here. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You're God's handiwork. You're his masterpiece. That's Lisa Wadding's granddaughter, by the way. Not so premature anymore. Strong, growing, same with Justin Lamison's. Now she's still in the NICU, still, you know, on life support for just for safety's sake, but she's doing very well, up over 3 pounds. When she was born, she was, what, 1 pound, like 3 ounces, I think? Tiny little. But God has given her strength. They had to actually tie that baby down because she's just all over the place, yanking her tubes out and everything. So keep praying. That is how great and how awesome our God is. Two premature babies in the same, you know, community within a week apart of each other. Not a whole lot of hope for their survival, but God has given them strength and life. It's just who he is. He is their creator. And so, yes, I know I get beat up because I don't preach on taboo subjects of the day. I just preach what God's word says and it speaks for itself. Obviously, I don't support abortion. I mean, I believe that God began knitting that child in the mother's womb from the very moment those two cells combined, or, you know, half cells combined into one. I mean, that's life. So yeah, there, you heard me preach about a hot topic. It's just, I don't preach against things, I preach for things. And anything else that rises up against it, yes, I'm against, okay? Just so you can keep that in your back pocket since we're a small crowd today. But you are God's handiwork. We look at the beauty of all of his creation, then we look in the mirror like, ew. We don't care for what we see, right? We see all these negative things, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to point her out, but I know my wife, she thinks I'm lying to her all the time whenever I say I'm attracted to her and she's beautiful and stuff, you know? She's like, you're lying, you're just being nice. You just have to say those things, you know? Sure, you may be a little rough around the edges in areas, but that just means God's not finished yet, right? Like all my building projects, like I'm getting to it. It's just not done yet, okay? Give it time. You got to be patient, all right? You don't have to remind me every year that I didn't get to that yet. Not only are you God's handiwork, but you were created for a specific purpose as well. You were created as a good work for a good work. I love it. For a good work. You were handcrafted with the intent that in return, you would become a tool used by God to continue this building process. Now, that sounds demeaning, you know? If someone walks up on the street and says, you're such a tool, like, I would be offended at that, right? Sorry. But I don't know if you've ever gotten into situations like I have. You know, we live in a double wide, and I think I've rebuilt the entire thing at this point. It's just, but you run into situations, you're like, what was that person thinking? What were they doing? Why in the world? 1,000 staples instead of a screw? What? Like, you know, you run into these things. But sometimes you run into a difficult building project, and you have to actually make your own tool to do the job. Anybody ever run into that before? Like, you have to actually make your own tool to just make the job easier. You know, I remember when I was first laying my first laminate floor, I made this tool that, like, you know, pounded the one piece into the other. I didn't know the tool existed out there. You know? Yeah. So I made my own tool. But sometimes you need to do that. It's created, it's a specific tool for a specific purpose, and it makes that job a joy. It takes your frustration and irritation levels, and then just boom. Like, I remember the first time I used a swiveled socket to get into a tight spot, you know? I'm like, this is awesome. How many knuckles I busted up, you know? I thought I was going to go need to get stitches. And next thing I found out, those things exist. You can get in there at any angle. It's amazing, you know? Yeah. Or like super long extensions for sockets instead of just trying to shove your arm in there, you know? Yeah. Specific tools for a specific purpose, and they make the job a joy. It takes your frustration to joy. That's your life. Like, when you choose to allow God to shape you and to form you and to use you, you bring joy to Him. You bring joy to God. You put a smile on His face. It's amazing. Like Bezalel and Oliab, God has filled us with the Holy Spirit for a lot of reasons. Of course, it's to give us gifts. We love the gifts of the Spirit. Love the gifts of the Spirit. We want to see them in motion more and more and more here and here and out there, right? To see God doing the miraculous in and through our lives. But He also gave the Holy Spirit for the purpose of teaching and training others and building them up to do the same. Don't you love that? That we don't have to be selfish with our gifts. The Holy Spirit filled these two men and could have been like, get out of here, you don't know what you're doing. You ever work with people like that on the job? Like, well show me and I'll know. You know? Help me, teach me, train me so I can do it. And they're just like, no, you're just not good enough. That's not how God is. God's like, yeah, come on in. And He filled them with the Holy Spirit, not only with those gifts and skills and trades, but He also filled them with the ability to teach others so that they could have those same gifts. Now, God, I always wondered this. Why did God not just fill them with the Holy Spirit too so they could just instantly know how to do all those things? It's just not His character. It's not His nature. He gifts you so that you can serve others, so that you can train and equip others. That's a reason. There's a reason He gave us the Holy Spirit. So, He's given us all kinds of gifts and skills to be used to do all kinds of good works and to teach others to do the same. And although we're all uniquely designed and uniquely created to do unique good works, when we come together, we build something greater than we could ever do on our own. And that's what the church is all about. You know, you may be skilled in the areas of carpentry, or you may not be. You may be a little bit like me. You know, that's okay. Regardless of that, God has given you exactly what you need to be a part of His building project, to be a part of building something great. So we're going to team up with God, and we're going to learn to develop these habits. First of all, the habit of building up yourself. This is something we don't often talk about. It sounds wrong in the church. It sounds wrong in the kingdom of God. It sounds very selfish, right? To build myself up, right? To make myself healthy and to equip myself and me, 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 me. But it's true. God wants you to build yourself up. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, He actually tells us to do exactly that. God wants to build you up. He wants to shape your life until you reach your full potential. He wants to do that. He wants to work together with you to build yourself up. The catch here is that it's not out of a selfish motive. You're not building yourself up so that you look better than other people, so that you are better than other people, so that you can look down on others, right? It's not so that you can vainly, you know, show off and say, look who I am, you know? The motive of us being built up into our full potential, it's first of all for a motive of glorifying God so that you can say, look what God can do with a life. look what he has done for me. This is not something I've done on my own. This is something that he has done together with me. It's to glorify God first and foremost so that people can see your life and see the fingerprints of the craftsman as he builds you up. It's also to build ourselves up so that we can more effectively help others. If you've ever ridden on an airplane, what's the first thing they tell you to do if the hull is breached and the pressure drops? You grab that oxygen mask and you put it on yourself first, right? So that you can help other people. Because if you start helping other people put on their masks, you're going to kick over dead and you're not going to help anybody. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to help other people, right? We've got to build yourself up so that you can just more effectively help others. It's that motive, right? And you know, I think about this. A shovel can move a little bit of dirt. You can do a project with that. But man, it's so much easier to jump in a bulldozer and just watch that thing shove off, like, you know, yards and yards and yards at a time. You can do it quicker, you can do it easier, far less effort, right? The right tool for the right job. Well, God wants to build you up so that you're not so stressed out anymore, so your life can be filled with joy, peace, patience, right? And God does that by building you up to more effectively manage your own life and your own responsibilities. He wants to do those things. He wants to build you. Jude, if you don't know, there are no chapters in Jude. It's a one-chapter book. Verses 20 to 23 says this, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up," who's building you up? You, right? You're building yourself up. "By building yourself up in your most holy faith, and by praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." You see, God paid a high price to pave the way, to pioneer the way. And it'd be such a shame for someone to build this beautiful paved highway and then for nobody to ride on it, right? It'd be a shame. Pointless. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. God paid a high price to pave that highway, to construct that highway, so that we can have right relationship with him. He did that so that instead of opposing and resisting him and struggling with him, that we actually start cooperating with him. And then he builds, first and foremost, our lives up. He starts doing a work in you to make you a new creation. He starts that construction job in your life right away. He wants you to build yourself up in the faith. He wants you to do that. He's told us to do that. He gave us his word as a blueprint for our lives. Think about it that way. God's word is just a blueprint of how to construct your life. It's a guideline of how to live your life to its fullest. You know, me in the programming world, I think of God's word like it's like code that gets rid of all those bugs and gets rid of all those malware and viruses, and it cleans up your life and helps you to be as effective as possible, right? It's a coding system. It really is. It's God's building code for our lives. And if we live by it, our lives are just so much better. You know? And yeah, I know it's a pain to read the instruction manual and all that stuff, but things just go smoother when you do things step by step by step. I can't tell you how many times we visit IKEA, we brought home this little box that's supposed to be this huge, like, entertainment stand, and I just start putting things together. And then I reach a point, I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get this bolt in there? There's no room for that. And after struggling for a while, you go back through the instruction manual, it's like, oh, I had to do this before this. And since I didn't do that, now I got to tear it all down and rebuild it, right? God doesn't want you to live that kind of life of frustration where you take one step forward and five step back every step of the way. That's not God's plan for your life, but he gave us his word to follow. And if you don't do it step upon step, precept upon precept, things are going to get out of whack and you're going to, you know, any building project you do at home, it usually starts with some demolition, right? Sometimes you got to tear things down in order to build it back up right. Sometimes you have to do that. And sometimes God has to do that in your own life. Sometimes he's going to steal things away, not as punishment, not as judgment or wrath. He takes things away so that he can build you up properly, so he can add those things to you once you're ready for them, right? Okay. He gave us his word to make us better, stronger, and healthier than we could ever be on our own. And although it's a work of the Holy Spirit, this process that takes place as we build up our lives, we do it in cooperation with him. We build our lives as the Holy Spirit does his work, right? It's sort of like when you're sitting in that dozer. That dozer does all the work, but you're telling it what to do, right? It's similar. The Holy Spirit is guiding us and directing us. We do the work. But it's a cooperation. You're doing it in his guidance, with his strength. It's just, it's awesome. It's a cooperation. And although the more that we build up our lives, this is another thing to look at, the more likely people will want to follow Jesus. Think about that. The more that we build up our own lives, the more people are going to want what we have. They're going to see the work of God. They're going to see it, and they're going to want it. Who wouldn't want something that our God makes, right? Who wouldn't want something that he does? I mean, it's always good. It's always awesome. It's always exciting. You know, as the Bible states, that there should be those out there asking us the reason for the hope within us. People should be asking us and wanting that. And they do that as they see our lives. Not that you live a life perfectly. They see your struggles, and then they see your God meet those struggles. And they see your God do the miraculous. It's awesome. It's called a testimony, right? And I know it's hard to believe, but not a single person who has walked into our house and seen my 2x4 tables have ever asked me to build one for them. Kind of hurts my... Not once has anyone ever asked, hey, can you teach me how to do that? My kid could really use one of those in their bedroom. No, it doesn't really hurt my feelings. I wouldn't want anyone to do that either. I'd be ashamed of it, right? But people who are skilled in those crafts, I've found out they're never without work. People are always asking them to help them or to teach them how to do that, right? People who have those abilities, they're like, hey, can you make one of those for me too? You know, or hey, can you show me how to do that? When they have those skills, word spreads. Next thing you know, friends of friends of friends are asking for it. Because you built that chair for, you know, that outdoor chair for that person. And then their friends come over and they see it. They're like, that's really awesome. Where'd you get that? Where'd you buy that? Oh, so-and-so made it. Oh, can you have them build me one? Next thing you know, you're never without work. Word spreads. And think about how God can be glorified through that. Multiplication is the process in the kingdom of God. Never addition. Always multiplication. And so we want to build ourselves up. We read, we study, we meditate on the building codes of God's word. We communicate with the foreman through continuous prayer, right? We pray to the foreman, to Jesus. And don't be afraid to take a step back and actually admire the fruits of your labor and enjoy them. God wants you to enjoy life. He commanded you to take a day off so you can enjoy the 6 days that you labored. He actually wants you to do that. He created you to enjoy life. To be able to kick back and enjoy it and rest. He created us for it. He did it himself as an example, right? Okay, so let's be honest here. When it comes to building ourselves up, in today's world, there's really no excuse not to build ourselves up in the faith. I mean, we have access to countless, probably trillions of resources. There's just no lack of the access to resources available here. We can sit under teaching of countless pastors and teachers and theologians. Every single day, there's all these podcasts being released of messages and teachings and, you know, different trainings. I mean, you can sit there and get trained from your computer. There's all kinds of different trainings and resources available out there. There's books containing knowledge and wisdom for just about anything you could ever face under the sun. And you don't even have to read books anymore. Somebody will read them to you, right? Like Audible, you don't even have to read books anymore. You just play it, and wherever you're at, you know, this thing through Bluetooth that connects to my car, and so I'm building myself up while I'm driving to and from work these days. You know, I have got access to all these different podcasts I listen to. There's different teachers I listen to, and it's just, it's good to build yourself up. It changes, it transforms your life when you do that. Don't wait for somebody else to build up your life. Don't wait on someone else to do that. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and they blame me for not equipping them in some area, you know? Like, I am only responsible to a certain degree. I'm doing what I can, you know? We are responsible for our own lives. We are responsible for our own growth and maturity. If you need a resource, ask me. If I can help you, I will. If not, I will point you to all these resources that can help you. I want you to reach your full potential in Christ. I don't want you to miss out on it. I don't want you to miss a single promise that God has for your life. But there's no excuse for us not to build ourselves up. The resources are unbelievable out there. And the other thing is, don't ever let somebody come into your life and start tearing down the work that you've been doing. Don't let them do that. Defend the work that you're doing. Let it happen. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, Paul wrote to... I think this is a writing of Paul. See, I don't even remember. I'll have to look it up. Anyways, in Titus, in the book of Titus, we read that in everything, and I believe this is Paul writing to him, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Live a life like that. Live a life of integrity, so when people start slinging mud at you, because you know they're going to, anybody who really knows you, they'll know the truth. Live a life of integrity and soundness. Live a life publicly, so that everybody can see and track your progress. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Be a good work of God for everyone to see his handiwork and his craftsmanship. Everybody loves to quote from Jesus who says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, right? The good works that you do, you keep them hidden. It's just between you and God. Do you know the context of that scripture? That's true only if you have a prideful, arrogant heart. If you're going to puff yourself up, then just keep it quiet. Don't let anyone else know. That was one single scripture reference, but there are, I think, 30 that I found so far where Jesus said things like this. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Look at Jesus' life. Did he not let the left hand know what his right hand was doing? Did he live a very private life that nobody could see the work of God? No. Did anyone in the New Testament church ever live private lives and keep their faith privately to themselves? No. Christianity's always been a public act of profession and living. It's just living life. Living life to its fullest. And everybody ought to be able to see it and want it. Let your good deeds shine out for everyone to see it. Build yourself up and let people see your progress. Next, we should be working on building up others. You got to start building up yourself, though. Let God do a work in you so that as a result, God can do a work through you. Right? Yeah. Start with building up yourself and then start building up others. We don't need no technology. Let the lights go out. yeah. Shine. Be good and do good. Okay? Be good and do good. Cooperate. God builds us up into the new creation that he created us to be. As he does that, we also have the privilege of cooperating with God to build up others. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and you can follow with me if you want, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's okay. I know it's really quiet. Oh, I just didn't turn this back on. Sorry, I'm looking at the projector back there. I didn't even know. All right, so, while I'm working on this, for we're God's co-workers. You're a co-worker with God. And I'm telling you, he's not that annoying, know-it-all, boss-you-around kind of co-worker. It just gets on your last nerve. Nate started working on a farm. He worked with a guy like that, you know? God is an awesome co-worker that shows you what to do, how to do it, and encourages you into your fullest potential. Who put all this junk back in here? I can't get through there. Anyways, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, for we are God's co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else is building upon it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, does that sound familiar from the Old Testament skills? Their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, capital D, day of judgment, will bring it to light. If anyone builds with those things, they will be rewarded. Because on that day, what we do will be revealed with fire. That fire will test the quality of each person's individual work. If what has been built survives, the builder receives a reward. But if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. That's intense. Even though as one escaping through the flames. So if you build, sacrificing with costly things, then you've got a rich reward awaiting you. If not, yeah, you're going to get to heaven, but just by the skin of your teeth, right? So let's not be ones who are like that, who escape hell with, like, you know, singe fire on your tail feathers. Don't be like that person. And the defining factor is the work that you are doing to build. What are you doing to build up other people? That's what defines this here. We want to be builders of God's kingdom. We don't want to be ones that just get out of hell and get into heaven. We want to be ones, when you stand before Jesus, you have no fear, you have no anxiety when it comes to that day of judgment. Because when Jesus inspects our lives that we have lived, if we live them with integrity now, you've got nothing to hide when you stand before Jesus. Your life's an open book already. Let him bring his judgment, because you know it's going to bring what? Reward. You're excited for it. Check out the work of my hands. Put it to the test. Jump on that table, okay? Kick it around a few times. Tie it to the back of your truck and drag it down the road. I know it was built with integrity, and I know it's going to withstand any test you give it, right? That's the lives that we ought to live. Put it to the test. I'm going to get a reward here. This is going to be awesome, right? If you live your lives as shadowy, if you lack integrity, you ought to be fearful when you stand before Jesus. You ought to be. So choose not to be. Choose to live a life of integrity now, so it's a reward. Look forward to that day when you can hear the words that Jesus says. What? What kind of steak does he like? Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? Well done. Good job. That's what Jesus wants to give you in the end. He wants to be like, good job. I'm so proud of you. You did great. Live a life that enables him to say that. Just live with integrity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is how we build other people up. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Easy to say, right? Kind of hard to do. Huh? Well, I can't remember where I set down the remote now. All right. Anyways, yeah, we can deal without that. Sorry. I multitask all the time. I can't ever just do one thing. So it's normal. Okay. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, the words you speak affect everybody, whether you think they're hearing them or not. So we're told in Ephesians 4:29 to only speak words that build other people up. We build others up by speaking words of encouragement. Encouragement means you give people courage. You give them boldness. You give them audacity. You encourage them to rise up into God's plans for their lives. And we build other people up by serving their needs. By serving their needs. These are the two things you do to build people up in the kingdom of God. Encourage them with your words and serve their needs. And as we follow the example of Jesus, our builder, we look not only to our own needs, but also to those around us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur each other on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting with each other as some are in the habit of doing." That's a habit you want to break, not meeting together, right? "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Again, capital D, that same day when you stand before Jesus. We need to get together. That's why we pay money to build a building and keep the lights on, right? To give you a place to be able to fulfill the word of God. To get in the habit of coming together, meeting. And what we want to do here is encourage each other on to good works. We want to build each other up. We want to encourage each other to do what God has called each one of us to do. Because it may seem obvious, but this is lacking so much in our culture. Just meeting together. People don't get together with each other anymore. They just text each other, you know. Even a phone call is a stretch these days, right? And I'm guilty of it myself. You know, we're all about just getting information across. But there's something that God wants to do so much bigger than get information to and from one another. He wants us to build relationships with one another. Then you can encourage each other and build each other up. And that can only happen when you meet together and you gather together. If you're like Becky and I, we're very private people. Our like friendships, they are small, but they run very deep. We're not surfacey people. I can't have 1,000 friends and call them all friends. I can have one or two, and man, those are like some pretty tight bonds usually, right? You know, that's, if you're that kind of person, it's okay, but you still have to be intentional about gathering together with people so that you can encourage one another and build each other up and serve each other's needs. So if that's your, you know, your type of lifestyle, I mean, that's okay, but find a couple builders out there. Find people in your life who will build you up and encourage you. Find people who love you enough to talk about some of the issues that you might have, but work together with you to get over them, right? Find those builders in your life, those physical people who can be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to you. We all need them. We all need them. I have a relationship with several pastors myself, and whenever I run into hard times, I'm calling them up, you know? And I'm asking them to pray for me and give me advice, and everybody needs that in their lives no matter where you're at. We always need that. So, develop the habit of building yourself. Develop the habit of building others up. And while you do that, you're going to automatically do the last point here this morning, making the habit of building, and that's building up God's kingdom. Building up God's kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1, is Jesus is giving this revelation to John. He said, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood, and to him who has made us to be a kingdom of priests," and priests are just intercessors for God, "to serve his God, the Father, to him be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he has built us to be a kingdom." And that's what we care about here at New Hope. We don't care about New Hope necessarily. We care about God's kingdom. That's why we cooperate with every church in this valley, because we all serve the same God. And we all have the intention of people meeting with him and seeing his work. And so we build God's kingdom. You reach out to people and you love them and you serve them and you get them saved no matter where they go to church afterwards. Becky and I have sat in our church office and counseled several people. They don't even come to our church, and we're okay with that as long as they're going to church somewhere. And even when people leave here, we're okay with that as long as you're going to church somewhere. We want everyone to be plugged in somewhere so that they can reach their full potential, no matter where that's at. We don't care as long as they're getting built up in God's kingdom. That's what it's about. It's about his kingdom first and foremost. Now consider this truth. This is heavy, heavy. We are continuing the building projects of Noah, of Abraham, of Moses, of Joshua, of Elijah, of Elisha, of Jesus, of Peter and John, and every Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth. You are a result of their labor. We wouldn't be here knowing about Jesus and following Jesus and serving Jesus if it wasn't for their work. Think about the person who told you about God's salvation and opened up the invitation for you to receive it. You wouldn't be in the kingdom if it wasn't for that. Think about the people who are not in the kingdom because we're too shy or we have some excuse for not extending that invitation. Come on in! You have to clean up your life to meet with Jesus. He wants to do that for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. Just get to know him. Give him a chance. Right? Just give him a chance. We're building on their work. Not only that, what we're doing now, we're building a foundation for the future generations to build upon. I know I talked about this last week. Like, those kiddos back there, they are the future generation of the kingdom of God. I don't think you can ever go wrong investing in them. I don't think you can ever go wrong just playing with them and having fun with them. And they learn things through that. They learn about God's kingdom through those things. I don't think you can ever go wrong because you're building. It's you know, like what I mentioned earlier about the church buildings. Some of these, what do you call them? The big huge cathedral buildings. Those cathedrals were not built by like one team of people. Those cathedrals were built over the course of generations. Like they literally built those buildings by one generation building the foundation and starting the framework, and the next generation finishing it, and the next generation, like, it's amazing. It's no different for us as people. We build people up. They are God's building. Okay, it's not these 2x4s and 6s and drywall. This building will come and go. But we, the people, are God's kingdom. That's the building that God wants us to build. And it's not something that you do just for yourself. You're building on top of what someone else built. You're building up yourself and those around you, and you're doing it because then you're going to be building up the future generations as well. And that should be sort of weighty to us. It gives us a responsibility. Don't let the... We talk about Memorial Day. Don't let the work that they gave their lives for go to waste. Don't think little of it. Not in America and not in the kingdom of God. People gave their lives in the kingdom of God so that you could hear the good news of the gospel. Almost all the leaders in the early church were put to death. They were, what's the word for it? Martyrs. They were killed. And why were they killed? Because they wanted to go into communities and share the good news about Jesus. They were killed for it, but they didn't care. They were willing to lay down their lives so that even one person could enter the kingdom of God. And if one person did it, it was totally worth it. Literally giving up their own lives. We've lost that in this blessed nation that we have. We don't see persecution. We think the government's persecuting us. You haven't tasted anything yet. Come on. I'm sorry, that always kind of offends me. I'm like, really? You think that's persecution? Let them take away all your rights. In the New Testament church, the government confiscated even their property. And you know what they did as a result? They raised up a revolt and they joined together to ban this, these patriots, and they rose up against our government. No! They praise God that they were able to suffer for the name of Jesus because their kingdom was not of this earth. Isn't that what Jesus told Pilate? Yes, I'm a king, but this isn't my kingdom. Who cares what they do? Live your life in sight of God. People are going to rise up against you. Jesus said that. He said, all nations will hate you because of me. And I'm sorry to say that includes the great United States of America. There is coming a day when they will hate you. Jesus said it. You're never going to be able to stop it. So why do Christians want to band together for an impossible task? If God said it, don't oppose him. It's going to happen someday. Just accept it and move on and live out your faith, okay? Let's not get caught up in things that don't matter. Okay, that's a side sermon all of its own. But think about that. We get so overwhelmed by our circumstances and by our lives and the things that we're going through. Sometimes we forget about the big picture. Think about the kingdom of God. God is able to bring beauty from ashes. God is doing a work in your life. Even if it's painful from time to time, he wants to build you and to equip you and to encourage you. He wants you to reach your full potential. We often fail to take a step back and to see the tremendously huge picture where God sits. He is weaving a tapestry. He is painting a picture. He is building a temple far greater than we could ever even imagine. Your challenges, your disappointments, your failures, your strengths and your successes and your gifts, they are not accidental. God is working them all together to build this beautiful thing. And think about Bob Ross, right? When he made a mistake, he said, there are no such thing as mistakes. That's just it. That's a happy shrub now, right? That's what God does. There's no mistakes to God. He's able to forgive and to turn all things into something beautiful. God is building something greater even than yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us this, that two people are better off than one because they can help each other succeed. That's the kingdom of God. Us helping each other succeed. That's building the kingdom of God. And verse 10 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. I feel bad for those Christians that don't think they need to be a part of a church family. Because when they stumble and fall, and they will because we all do, who's there to pick them up and to encourage them and to give them the strength to keep going forward? That's what the church needs to do for one another, the kingdom of God. Likewise, two people laying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one person keep warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Powerful. Three are even better, because a triple braided cord is not easily broken. God, you, and others. triple braided, triple stranded cord cannot be easily broken. If you need strength, that's where you're going to find it. Not just you and God, you, God, and others. Let other people in. Let them help. Let them encourage. Let them in so that God can do his work. God is waiting for us to join together, to be in cooperating with him, to build his kingdom. It's his finest masterpiece. And it's one that he has been working to build for millennia. Literally since the beginning of time, God has been building his kingdom, and you are a part of it. You're a part of it. The kingdom of heaven is a physical place. I kind of want to describe this while we're ending. We're going to close here in just a few minutes. I know it's been long. Bear with me. The kingdom of heaven, it's a literal physical place. We talk about it, right? The Bible describes it physically. There's these huge, thick walls. There's, you know, all these just amazing, wonderful things. Things that we can only fathom. The kingdom of heaven is a physical place, and it's being built for you and I to enter into when the current order of things pass away, when the current earth is destroyed by fire. All the elements will be destroyed by fire, as the Bible says. Then God's going to make something new. The members of God's kingdom will enter into it when the time comes. But the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God, it exists here and now, and you're in it. You're members of it. The kingdom of God already exists, and you are a part of it, and that is what we're working to build. Jesus is preparing a mansion for you in the kingdom of heaven. That's awesome, and I'm looking forward to that day too. But as he's building the kingdom of heaven, let's build the kingdom of God. That's what he left, and he entrusted us to build the kingdom of God while he's building the kingdom of heaven. And you think about it in this way. We are all Americans, right? We love America, right? You know, we are Americans. We're proud of it. We are members of the United States of America. And you are an American anywhere you go. You go off to Italy, you're an American. And guess what? People will know it. You're going to talk American. You're going to dress American. You're going to walk American. People will know you're a foreigner, and they're going to know you're American. I mean, just who we are, right? People know it no matter where you go. That's like the kingdom of God. No matter where you go, people ought to know it. And it doesn't matter whether you're here or on the other side of the face of the earth, you're still a member of God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like the United States of America. You can't take that anywhere you go. It's a physical, literal place, right? So you kind of see the difference? That's the kingdom of heaven, physically, literally. The kingdom of God is what you're a member of. It's who you are. That doesn't change no matter where you go, right? So, we are members of God's kingdom, but we only enter the kingdom of heaven, that literal time when we all are called home. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. It says, one day the Pharisees came and they asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Because they were waiting for it eagerly. They wanted it. Jesus replied this way. He said, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, oh, here it is, or, oh, it's over there. It's not a physical place, the kingdom of God. Jesus said, for the kingdom of God, it's already among you. Can you imagine? He was the king of the kingdom of God. And he said, the kingdom of God is not a physical place. You can't say, here it is, or there it is, over there. The kingdom of God is already among you. And that's an encouraging word for you this morning. The kingdom of God is here. It is here now. You're members of it, and you're building it. You are building and shaping and defining what the kingdom of God is. Right? It's no different for a church. Like, the church, I know I preached this forever when I started, what, 7, 8 years ago. The church is not the pastor. Pastor Steve will come, Pastor Steve will go. New hope remains. The church is the people. It's what we decide we are going to be. It is how we choose to live. It is how we choose to act. It's no different than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is you define it. Now, God wants it to be a certain way. He's given us his building code. He's given us his blueprint. He lived the life so that we could literally see what it looks like and how it acts. But we are it. You are the kingdom of God. And that should be encouraging, though. You're it. You get to represent Jesus here on the earth. As you and I reach out to the lost with the good news about Jesus, you build God's kingdom. You further God's kingdom. You're a conqueror bent on conquest. You are kicking out the kingdom of darkness, and you're establishing the kingdom of God. You are victors. You do that by reaching out to people with love, serving their needs, and telling them all about Jesus. And when they choose to receive his salvation, kingdom of God just grew. It was built. Not only that, we build God's kingdom when we encourage each other, and we become better. Because a nation is only as strong as its people. When we build each other up, the kingdom of God is built up, and it grows, and it strengthens, and it matures, and it becomes better and stronger than it ever could have been otherwise. We build ourselves up. We build up others. And by doing those things, we build God's kingdom. You guys are doing it. You're builders, right? So get out there and build something beautiful. Don't build my 2x4 plywood contact paper table out there, okay? People appreciate you got something to work with, but let's build with excellence. Let's be intentional about making some sacrifices and really building something that you can be proud of. Build something so that when you stand before Jesus, you can just be so proud of it. So ready for Jesus to put it to the test and to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't enter that day with any doubt in your mind, knowing the lack of integrity in your life and that you didn't give it your all and that what you built with really, it was your leftovers. That's what I build those tables out of. I literally build them out of my scraps. The stuff that's laying around, forgotten about, it's not valuable to me. Someone stole it, I wouldn't even notice or care. I know it's funny, but don't we build God's kingdom with that? When I find time, if I want to, when I feel like it. Don't build with your leftover scraps. Build God's kingdom with your best. And trust that he'll take care of everything else. Trust that if you build it with that 2x6 you just bought and you don't want to hack it up, build with it anyways. And trust that when you come to need that 2x6, God will provide one. Right? Build with those things. Look at how God's people came together to build the literal temple of God's presence. They gave their best. They gave their all. And they didn't do it begrudgingly. They came together and they did it. And it was a huge party. It was a celebration. I mean, they were just bringing everything in and giving it to the people who were building, and they were rejoicing and celebrating. It was because they're building something together, something worthy of housing the very presence of God. They were preparing a place for God to rest. It's no different with you. You're members of God's kingdom. Build your life to be a place where God can find rest. Build your life to be a place where the presence of God can just fill you to overflowing. Build up other people so that they can experience that same thing. And as we do that, we build and establish and grow the kingdom of God. You're a builder. Be a craftsman. Let God build you up into something good, and then use your life to do good for others. That's what we're going to do this week. Think about it. Be intentional about it this week. Build people up. Start in your own family. Build up your own kids. Just build up your spouse. Build up your grandkids. Build up your great-grandkids, you know? And then just when you're at work or when you're at school or wherever you find yourself, look for ways to build people up. Give them a compliment. This doesn't take a whole lot. Hey, I like your shirt. Is anyone ever going to be like, get away from me, you freak! Don't ever talk to me that way again with that filthy language, you know? No, build people up. You can't go wrong. People love it. Why? Because they were created to receive it.
Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the foundation you've given us, God. And Lord, we just pray for your strength and wisdom and building up your kingdom, building up your kingdom here, God. You give us words and give us knowledge and insight sometimes, Lord, on things that you want to do and say in the lives of those around us and in our own lives. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. It's going to go forth and do what it's meant to do. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on each one here. Safe travels, good weekend. celebrate with family wherever they're going. Lord, just bless them. And just, Lord, continue to do your work in us and through us. And Lord, it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of that. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.